of what mainstream media sees as a gay identity. I want to thank you, Sean, for having this conversation with me. And I want to thank our listeners. Been listening to Outsources on KGNU Boulder, Denver. I'm Ryan Ayala. And as I said, I'm in studio with Sean Kenny. And this is my first solo produced show. So I'm really excited to be involved. And I look forward to putting together many more shows.
Thirty seconds after 7 o'clock, you're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. The following program is presented by the KGNU listener members and by My Local Music Lesson, enabling busy families and professionals to arrange for music lessons in the comfort of their own homes or at the location of their choice. My Local Music Lessons uses certified and fully vetted instructors to teach string, voice, and percussion lessons of various kinds. More information can be found at mylocalmusiclessons.com. It's time now for the Opera Box. Oh, good evening, everyone. Welcome to KGNU's Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadel. And seeing as how tomorrow is Independence Day, I thought tonight we'd sample some opera by American composers, like this aria, Summertime, from Gershwin's Porgy and Bess. And music by Amy Beach, Aaron Copland, Robert Aldridge, and Samuel Barber. Did you think opera was just Italian and German? Join me for tonight's Opera Americana. Summertime. Clara sings to her little baby on a warm summer evening in Catfish Row from Act One of Porgy and Bess by George Gershwin. We heard Harolyn Blackwell, soprano, as Clara. Simon Rattle conducted the London Philharmonic Orchestra and Chorus. Well, we're just coming up on 5 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a playlist of opera by American composers. Besides style, American opera differs from the European tradition in that the subject matter is typically distinctly American and often influenced by contemporary sources. Robert Aldrich's opera, Elmer Gantry, is based on Sinclair Lewis's 1929 novel, which was a critical comment on religion and tent revivalism in America at the time. Aldrich was actually inspired after seeing the movie starring Burt Lancaster. Elmer Gantry, the character, is an unlikely evangelist drawn to hard drinking and loose women. He's thrown out of a seminary for drunkenness and for using his preaching to sell farm equipment. In this scene from Act One, Gantry attends a tent revival led by the famous Sharon Falconer, who's based on the historical American revivalist Amy Semple McPherson. Aldrich here recreates the mood and character of an authentic revivalist meeting. The crowd overflows the huge revival tent. It's a warm evening, and ice cream salesmen walk among the crowds while people pray. Elmer's girlfriend, Lulu, is there. But it's during this service that Gantry thinks he can become a big-time preacher. Ignoring his girlfriend, he approaches Sharon Falconer, asking if he can work with her. She recognizes him for the opportunist that he is, and she refuses him. As the crowd sings Never the Same Again, Gantry feels he's found a true calling. Thank you.
I spit on the spot, same as now, but different. Was it her? She was here, she left. I heard what she said, what about it? I've said the same stuff myself. Was it me? Did I imagine the thing that I heard?
Thank you.
the hypocritical Elmer Gantry becomes inspired to be an evangelist after attending a revivalist meeting led by Sharon Falconer. From Act One of Elmer Gantry, opera by American composer Robert Aldridge. And we heard Keith Ferris as Elmer Gantry, Patricia Risley as Sharon Falconer. William Bogg conducted the Milwaukee Symphony and the Florentine Opera Chorus. 23 minutes after 7 o'clock, you're listening to The Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a playlist of American opera right here on KGNU for our approaching Independence Day. My next sample is the Gothic tale Vanessa by Samuel Barber. The libretto was written by Barber's life partner, the composer Giancarlo Menotti. He was inspired by the atmosphere of the writings of Danish author Isaac Dinesen. The setting is around the turn of the last century. Vanessa has kept the mirrors in her home covered ever since her lover Anatole left her 20 years ago, not wanting to see herself age until her lover returns. At the beginning of the opera, she has learned her lover's returning, and she's waiting for him with her mother and her niece, Erica. Well, he arrives and appears as young as before, but it turns out it's Anatole's son. Anatole died, and his son has come with the news. Eric and the young Anatole fall in love, and she becomes pregnant. Anatole then lost interest in Erica and fell in love with Vanessa. And the two eventually agreed to get married. Erica then causes herself to miscarry. And in this final scene, Anatole and Vanessa are about to leave together, and Erica covers the mirrors in her house. Now it's her turn to wait.
Backward road of regret. here to kiss the impostor. I see you again. Perhaps you will have learned to smile.
I hope you will still be smiling when I see you again.
My dear ones.
Please, please, no tears. Come in the sleigh with us, my friend. We shall drop you in the village. I shall wave goodbye from never say that name again. Lucky those people who are so anxious to believe. Do you really think she believes what I said? Grandmother! Oh, I forgot that you will not speak to me either now. I am truly alone. Will you please cover all the mirrors in this house again?
What, mademoiselle?
Thank you.
innkeeper that the gate to the park must remain locked at all times. Thank you.
Young Anatole and Vanessa announced their plans to marry and leave Erica, who now covers all the mirrors in her home, just as Vanessa had done 20 years earlier when Anatole's father abandoned her. The conclusion of Vanessa by Samuel Barber. And in that recording, we heard Eleanor Staber as Vanessa, Rosalind Elias as Erica, Nikolai Gaeta as Anatole, the young Anatole, and Regina Resnick as the grandmother. Dimitri Mitropoulos conducted the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra. It's 25 minutes now before 8 o'clock. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Yadel, with a playlist of American opera for Independence Day. And be sure to stay tuned for a Classic Monday. I'll continue as your host with the fifth program in my series on the symphony. That's at 8 o'clock tonight, right here on KGNU. This next sample is from the chamber opera Cabildo by American composer Amy Beach. Amy Cheney was a child prodigy and became famous as a pianist around the turn of the last century. She composed piano music, which she would perform as a touring artist. Well, when she married Dr. Henry Beach, 24 years her senior, she agreed to stop touring and turn to composing. After he died, she continued to compose and resumed her concertizing career. Her opera Cabildo takes its name from the historical building in New Orleans. It had been a government building and later a prison. Historically, the pirate Pierre Lafitte had been a prisoner there, but he was allowed to leave when he made a secret deal to help General Andrew Jackson, later President Andrew Jackson. He agreed to help in the fight against the Spanish siege of New Orleans. Well, Beach's opera imagines tourists visiting Cabildo, and one woman, Mary, stays behind the others in the cell which held the famous pirate. And she imagined he was gallantly freed by a lover, not by an agreement with Andrew Jackson. Sitting there, she dozes and dreams about the two lovers. From Cabildo.
Tendrous delicate and
Oh.
the duet of the pirate Pierre Lafitte and his imagined lover, Lady Valerie, as dreamt by Mary in Amy Beach's opera, Cabildo. We heard Lauren Flanagan as Mary and Eugene Perry as Pierre Lafitte. Ransom William conducted the New York Concert Singers.
Volunteer orientations are held on the first Thursday of odd number months at 7 p.m. at our Boulder studio located at 4700 Walnut Street and our Denver studio at 700 Calamas Street. That's the first Thursday of odd number months at 7 p.m.
Thank you!
Well, I'm going to close my program of American opera with the end of Act One of Aaron Copland's opera set in the heartland of America, The Tenderland. Copland composed the opera for the NBC Television Opera Workshop in 1953, in those golden era days when TV tried to ennoble our lives. He was inspired by the book Let Us Now Praise Great Men. It's a famous book with the Depression-era photographs of sharecroppers combined with the text by James Agee. The opera has nothing to do with that book, however. In the meantime, NBC producers rejected the opera, and so it premiered at the New York City Opera instead. In the opera, Laurie lives on a farm in the Midwest with her mother and her grandfather and her younger sister. She's going to be having a party in the evening to celebrate her graduation from high school. She's sitting on the porch with her mother and her grandfather when two young drifters, Martin and Top, come by looking for work. Well, Grandpa is wary of strangers. And recently, a young girl from a neighboring farm, Jessie Kane, had been assaulted. Well, while they talk to Grandpa, they eye Laurie, and she eyes them. Grandpa admits he's going to need help with the harvest, and he agrees to hire the young men. And in this scene, he invites them to dinner and the party, and they agree to join the party as well. And as the five people prepare to share their meal, they sing the famous quintet, The Promise of Living.
Seems strange, that's true, but did it ever occur to you that you seem strange to a stranger? Seem strange to a stranger, seem strange to a stranger too. We've come quite a ways through these great lands, with our backs and our hands. We're not strangers to harvesting grain, to digging up potatoes or planting in the rain. We hope that you can see it our way. We're not strange to work, now what do you say? We take on a stranger, take on a stranger, take on a stranger for the day.
Okay.
Long boys.
Long enough to look over the land and work up an appetite.
Know the Grays or Jessie Kane? She's a pretty girl, they say.
They said they just come here, Mother.
Lord, lots of Jessies in my time, and pretty ones too. But I don't place the name Jessie Kane.
Come on, Laurie, I need your help.
Mrs. Moss doesn't like us. Why do you suppose she asked those questions? Don't get excited. We ain't done nothing wrong. Least not lately. That Laurie sure is pretty. Don't start getting too interested. We'll want to move soon as this job is done. Look who's telling me you're the one that's still gotta learn. A kiss ain't a ball and chain. Listen, tonight keep the old man busy so's I can get acquainted with that girl. Hear me? Careful, Top. Grandpa has an eye in the back of his head where his girl's concerned. Leave that to me. You just drink him under the table. I've handled girls before and their pals. So there's gonna be a party tonight. Ain't we in love?
Come on, I'll show you where to put your bundles.
The Promise of Living, the great quintet from the end of Act One of The Tender Land by American composer Aaron Copland. Laurie will fall in love with one of those young men and want to run off with him. To her, he represents freedom and the outside world. But to him, she represents loss of freedom. We heard Elizabeth Comeau, soprano, as Laurie, Leroy Lair as Grandpa, Janice Hardy, mezzo, as Mother, Dan Dreesen and James Bone as Martin and Top, Philip Brunel conducted the orchestra and chorus of the Plymouth Music Series. Well, this is your host, Ron Nadell. I want to thank you for joining me for my playlist of American opera composers, and I hope everyone has a great 4th of July celebration. Be safe. Stay tuned for a classic Monday. It's 30 seconds after 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
Series with country artists Corb Lund, Slade Cleaves, and Matt Skinner under the Prairie Stars on Saturday, July 8th at Chico Basin Ranch, supporting Chico Basin.